Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Ancoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM-AM. That is AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee, a 50,000-watt station that we hope will be very successful in bringing Mark Ancoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider audience in the American South. Today we are greeted by one of the leading names in our entire movement. I trust that the name Michael Collins Piper is recognized by probably 99.9% of the people that are listening to this show. He is, of course, the host of his own show on RBN. He is a renowned columnist with the American Free Press. And in terms of some of Mike's books, I have read Final Judgment, courtesy of a friend of mine in San Antonio. I'm working my way through The New Jerusalem and The High Priests of War and some of the other books that Michael Collins Piper has written in recent years, as he has brought many of us out of the wilderness in regard to showing us what it is and how it is that the American nationalist movement has been so compromised. I finished Mike's book, The Judas Goats, some time ago, which he graciously sent to me through the mail. That has expanded my own knowledge in regard to my past ignorance, frankly, in regard to some things that have happened in the American conservative movement that I couldn't figure out for the longest period of time. I knew that something was wrong, did not have the specifics as to what was wrong, and I would say that Michael Collins Piper has probably done more to educate me, along with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, than any two people that I know. And today, Michael Collins Piper and I are going to be talking about Iran. Mike has been there in recent times. He's written a great deal about his last visit to Iran and his discussion of the so-called Holocaust Conference that was held in Tehran, among other things. I was in Iran many years ago when my parents were stationed there. In the 1970s, it was my privilege to have been there for a series of summers, doing some traveling and meeting a lot of interesting people that continue to come to my mind over three decades later. And I wanted to compare notes with Mike to see where he thinks this whole situation with Iran is headed. Mike, how are you?
Oh, fine, Mark. I'm not accustomed to being up this early, but it's a pleasure to be on your show. I think this is the first time we've actually spoken in person. We've been in correspondence through this remarkable technology of email for a long time now. But so this is a great pleasure to be on the show.
Well, it's a great pleasure to finally get together for a direct chat, Mike. As I was saying to the listeners, I can't begin to tell you how much your research and your work have impacted my own worldview. I think of Final Judgment, your book on the Kennedy assassination, which I reviewed at my own website and for BATR a couple of years ago. And then, of course, there's The Judas Goats, The High Priest of War, High Priests of War, The New Jerusalem. And as I'm reading some of those books now, it certainly is expanding my perception as to who and what is behind this current drumbeat of war with Iran. What's your take on this, and how do you see that country, having been there, how do you perceive it as being a different place from what we're being told that it is in corporate media?
Well, you know, that's very interesting because, you know, my immediate experience, when I came back, I told everybody, I said, let me tell you about Iran. Don't believe anything you see or hear in the establishment media. I mean, it is that simple. I realized after I got there that I had my own preconceptions, actually misconceptions, about that country and its people and its leadership, its entire system. And it kind of shocked even me because, well, we have a break coming up, and my shock, I guess, will have to hold.
Yes, hold the shock thought, Mike. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Michael Collins Piper and his take on Iran. We return. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html. MildSilverProtein.com/home.html.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. Even as we greet Michael Collins Piper, getting back to our conversation about Mike's trip to Iran and his observations. Mike, you were saying that there was a total disconnect between any, if not all, of your preconceptions about Iran and what you actually saw and experienced when you got there. Go ahead.
To describe it, a total disconnect, Mark. I realized when I actually got there that I had so many misconceptions, preconceptions that were misconceptions about the whole country. You know, and I realized back when I think upon it, I suppose my image of Iran was an image of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets screaming "Death to America." Images of women being abused, women in covered from head to toe, being abused by men. I mean, these are the kind of images of that country that have been conveyed by the mass media in America to the American people. And as I say, I suppose when I got there, I expected to feel like I was in a police state where where life was miserable, where one didn't feel comfortable walking down the streets, and I was just absolutely floored by the fact that it was not that way at all. I spent all the time that I was there, which was only 4 or 5 days, in the capital city of Tehran, of course. And if there's any place where that country is going to be, you know, come across as a police state, it would certainly be in the capital city. And I didn't see any signs of that at all. I saw people going to work, men and women of all ages, dressed in all form of clothing. You know, it was just like any busy American city. These are human beings living their lives, going to work, not presenting an image of people who feel oppressed or are being subjected to totalitarianism. Now, I'm not here to say that everything is perfect in Iran, and obviously I wasn't seeing, you know, what may go on behind the scenes. But I can tell you that my own reaction, my own observations, had any average American had the experience that I did, they would come back. I feel very confident feeling the same way, that the image we are being presented by the mass media in America is not the correct image.
Yes, and in terms of what mass media is doing, what do you think is the agenda and who's behind it?
Well, the agenda very clearly is to stoke up American hostility toward not just the government of Iran, but the Iranian people. And the purpose of that is it's a continuation of what went on in Iraq. And that is part of a long-term grand design, if you will, to introduce not just regime change in Iran, but institutional change, national change. In other words, they want to bring down the Iranian government just as they brought down the government of Saddam Hussein. And this has been a long-term policy coming right off the drawing boards of the pro-Israel think tanks here in Washington, D.C., with their affiliates in the government of Israel and in the various elements of the Zionist lobby here in Washington and around the world. So this is very directly a policy which comes right out of Israel, and it's being aided and abetted by the American mass media, and certainly this policy is the policy now of the United States government under George W. Bush.
Yes, and I was struck by something today that I saw at Iran Press Service, which seems to carry from time to time quite a number of commentators that have links to the neoconservative movement in the United States and in the West. And today, looking at Amir Tahiri's piece, which is entitled Iran, the Radical Wins Again, I know that Tahiri has been a past, if not present, client of the neoconservative Benador Associates, and not by accident, I believe, does this piece appear originally in the New York Post. And quoting Amir Tahiri here, as far as this Iran Press Service post coming to us, again, originally from the New York Post, he says, in practical terms, Iran is more dependent on the outside world than before the Khomeinists seized power. In 1977, Iran imported 11% of the food it needed. Today, it imports almost half. In 1977, Iran was an overall exporter of crude oil and petroleum products. Today, it imports more than 40% of its gasoline. In 1977, there were no outside forces in the Persian Gulf. Today, the U.S. and its allies control the waterway. Iranian ships passing through the Persian Gulf and aircraft flying over it have to clear their routes with the Americans. As for liberty, most Iranians today know that they are much less free, especially in social and cultural terms, than they were before the mullahs seized power. A recent study by the International Monetary Fund shows Iran experiencing the largest brain drain of any country in history, largely because the educated elites are fleeing an oppressive atmosphere. And then finally, reading the last paragraph of this summary, the slogan's third part, Islamic government, has also remained a chimera. Many genuinely religious Iranians, including some Shiite clerics, see Khomeiniism as an evil innovation because it violates a fundamental principle of the faith by pretending that it can create a truly Islamic government before the return of the hidden imam. That's a bit of Amir Tahiri's piece, originally for the New York Post, which winds its way today to Iran Press Service. Is this largely neocon propaganda? What do you make of it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This campaign against Iran was going on well before the neocons formally came to power under the Bush administration. If you look back, going back really almost back to the very beginning of even the Bill Clinton administration, you will find that this was a policy of what they called rogue states rollback that was being enunciated in the higher policymaking circles here in Washington, directly influenced out of Israel. Martin Indyke, who later became U.S. ambassador to Israel, gave what was at the time an unpublicized speech before a pro-Israel think tank here in Washington, in which he specifically targeted Iran and Israel. I'm sorry, Iran and Iraq. And no sooner had he given this speech than the essential framework of that speech began to be enunciated in various policy forums in other realms. For example, in the pages of Foreign Affairs, the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. Newt Gingrich followed up not long afterwards with a similar speech saying that Iran and Iraq were dangers that had to be dealt with. And this policy, this dual policy, was debated back and forth in these higher circles. But when the Bush administration came to power then, it became convenient and quite convenient for them to focus on Iraq. But Iran has always been in the gun sights. The Islamic Republic of Iran and Iraq have always been in the gun sights of the neocons, their supporters in the Israeli lobby here in Washington. And they have finally achieved what they wanted with Iraq, that is destroying the country. And that is precisely the policy. It's, you know, the argument today the Israelis and their supporters are making is that no country would want to have an unstable country like Iraq near their borders. But in fact, the Israelis have long pursued a policy of destabilizing their neighbors in the region because that makes Israel itself all the more strong from an international perspective. You know, you look at a country that's standing there relatively stable, surrounded by neighbors that are falling to pieces. Well, they've achieved that in Iraq, and you know, they want to do the same thing to Iran that they've done to Iraq. And that's why it makes it so scary for me as an American, because I know, Mark, this is going to be a real danger to the American people. They are propagandizing. They are promoting the idea that this is a country that must at all costs be not just contained but destroyed. And they want American blood and treasure to do that job for them.
Yes, and you know, it brings to mind something that Dr. Michael Chasadovsky of Global Research was writing about at globalresearch.ca. He was on this show some weeks ago talking about this whole business of Con Plan 8022 and this National Security Presidential Directive, NSPD 35, where if one reads through these references or summations, it becomes pretty clear that the people in the administration who are talking about preemptive war with Iran, in many instances, seem to be incorporating a doctrine into this preemptive warfare idea that includes the use of tactical nuclear weapons, potentially.
Yeah, this is one thing that's particularly scary. And, you know, I met Dr. Chasadovsky several years ago, actually not several years ago, last year, when we were both at a conference in Malaysia sponsored by Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the former prime minister. And that's one of the things that was widely discussed by the speakers there, the fact that, and including Dr. Chasadovsky, the fact that the Bush administration has laid out plans for the use of nuclear weapons against Iran. I mean, this is, you know, this is not something that someone dreamed up somewhere, you know. This is not some conspiracy theory. This has been laid out. the United States is talking about using nuclear weapons, and I find that disturbing, and most people should as well.
We will be back with Michael Collins Piper. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs. 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, we wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. And we're back with Michael Collins Piper discussing Iran and some of Mike's observations from his last trip over there. Mike, we were talking about this whole business before the last commercial break of these documents, which seem to indicate that the administration is at least thinking conceptually, not only about preemptive war with Iran, but quite possibly using tactical nuclear weapons in this regard. And Michael Chosadovsky's article for globalresearch.ca makes reference to Con Plan 8022 and also this so-called National Security Presidential Directive number 35. In regard to all of these things, it seems that there are a couple of other items that are afloat as well. We've been watching in the last however many weeks on this show some developments that Dr. Kaveh Farooq, a Persian scholar up at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, put me onto regarding separatist movements and tribal tensions in Iran. Specifically, Kaveh made reference to Azerbaijan. He made reference to Khuzestan province and also Balochistan province. And as we look at all three of those, just since Dr. Farooq was on this show, we've seen a lot of coverage in the international press, anyway, of ethnic tensions and flare-ups there that have occasionally involved the utilization of violence. Dr. Farooq has suggested to me that the American CIA and the British MI6 and the Israeli Mossad have their fingers in all of those conflicts, Azerbaijan, Khuzestan province, and Balochistan. What are your sources telling you on this?
Well, I'll tell you what, my immediate reaction to that is that he would absolutely have to be correct, because as I said earlier, this policy of the Israelis of Balkanization has been something that they have enunciated publicly in their various journals, in public discussions. You know, this would be right in line with what they have done to Iraq. And you know, after Iraq started falling to pieces, some of the same sources again began to talk about the theory of dividing the country up into various regions. So this again would tie right in with the policy that they carried out in Iraq, and now they're trying to follow the same template with Iran. I mean, you know, I was talking earlier about the policy of destabilization of the neighbor countries. I always like to point out that, you know, everybody always expects you to hear that the Israelis are destabilizing Arab countries, but Dr. Alfred Lilienthal, who is one of the primary and pioneer American Jewish critics of Zionism, wrote in his newsletter, Mideast Perspectives, many, many years ago about the fact that it was common knowledge in Italy and had been widely publicized in the mainstream press in Italy that the Israeli Mossad had been discovered to have been funding the terrorist Red Brigade organization. And the reason why the Israelis were funding the Red Brigade organization in Italy was because the more destabilized the government of Italy appeared to be on the world stage, it would make the government of Israel appear to be more stable in comparison in that region, in the Mediterranean region. So if the Israelis are going to carry out a policy like that against the government of Italy, which has never been known particularly to be an enemy of Israel, it would indeed be obviously a policy they might want to consider in the context of Iran, and they certainly have done it in Iraq. So everything being equal, it sounds to me like this would be part and parcel of the typical geopolitical strategy of Israel in the Middle East.
So in essence, maybe we can look at Israeli policy as a part of a three-pronged unholy trinity, as it were, of utilizing the United States as a surrogate proxy militarily in that part of the world, hence the deployment of these two or three aircraft carrier task force groups, American ones that we've been reading about in recent days. Then you throw into that not simply the support of these ethnic and sectarian groups, separatist groups, in these provinces of Iran that we have just mentioned this morning, but then there's the whole issue of economic destabilization. Any evidence that you see that groups like the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and so forth and so on are supportive of pulling the rug out from underneath Tehran economically?
You know, Mark, I really can't comment on that. I'm not much of an economist, but
neither am I. That's why I was hopeful you would help me out.
but you know, I tell you what, the way things work when these policies are being pursued by the United States government, these multinational lending agencies, which, of course, work very, very closely in tandem with the international banks. They are constantly at every level pursuing policies to destabilize a country. They're not, it's not something that's written about on the front pages any more than they admit on the front pages we're sending agents into these countries. So, you know, like I say, without knowing that they are specifically doing it, I'm confident they are.
Yes. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Mark and Post America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael Collins Piper to discuss Iran and Mike's recent trip over there, as well as his observations about what's happening in that country, as well as his evaluation of American foreign policy as it relates to Iran in the days ahead. Mike, watching this whole thing transpire, something is very interesting to me, and that is this. When I look as an American who is acquainted with our own miserable political situation, when I look at groups like the American Enterprise Institute, certain things come to mind. And I have noticed that there are certain Iranian expatriates in this country whom I do not know, but nonetheless I see them in these press releases being seen at American Enterprise Institute gatherings and gatherings of other organizations that are identified with being a part of the American neoconservative movement and the Israeli lobby. When these Iranians lend their names to these events and to these organizations, do you think they have any dawning awareness of what these groups seem to be planning for Iran in the future, or do they not care?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because it comes back to what I've described as their template, the template of the neoconservatives and the those whom we generally refer to as the New World Order crowd. Their template for what they did to Iraq is being followed almost on point in their campaign against Iran. And if you'll recall, in the campaign against Iraq, the neoconservatives and the Israeli lobby and their affiliated think tanks and power groups here in Washington hauled out on regular occasion a handful of what we'll loosely call Iraqi dissidents. And in fact, one of the best known was a guy by the name of Ahmed Shalabi. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but it's spelled Chalabi. He
yes.
was widely publicized in the mass media as some sort of, well, for want of a better way of calling it, some sort of Iraqi Democrat, so to speak, a small D Democrat. He was the alternative to the evil dictator Saddam Hussein. But, you know, gradually the truth about Shalabi came out. This guy, not only was he a wanted criminal, not wanted in Iran, actually, or not wanted in Iraq, but actually wanted in Jordan for bank fraud, but he was also on the various payrolls of various institutions and organizations that ultimately connected back to the government of Israel, the Mossad, and a variety of affiliated organizations here in the United States. He was basically their bought and paid for puppet. And he bears as much responsibility for helping destroy his own country as anybody in the now in the Iranian quote-unquote democratic movement will be playing in destroying their own country by doing the bidding of the very same people who were the puppet masters of Ahmed Shalabi. I mean, it's very circular there. I mean, you have the same forces promoting these so-called Iranian dissidents that you had promoting Shalabi, and it was all for the purpose of stirring up the United States to get into a war against Iraq and now Iran. Again, the template is being followed to a T.
Yes, and I remember some months ago, very briefly, this guy's name surfaced. I believe his name was Amir Abbas Fakhrizadeh, if I'm remembering this correctly. 30-year-old guy suddenly turns up in the United States, supposedly is a refugee from the IRI regime in Iran, where Fakhrizadeh claimed to be a persecuted Iranian citizen and so forth, who fled the West in order to gain his so-called human rights. Then he started turning up at these American Enterprise Institute gatherings. For a time, his name was being linked up to some of these seminars being held by the AEI and other groups on Iran. I've not seen this fellow's name in recent times, but I was struck by the fact that he seemed to pop up very quickly with no real discussion as to how he got out of Iran. He suddenly turns up in Washington at these AEI seminars and so forth. And again, seemed to be a very short period of time, an effective mouthpiece for Michael Ledeen and some of those folks, only to see the guy disappear again. I have no idea where he is. And when we see this kind of thing, is it fair to say that the fingerprints of Israel are ultimately the fingerprints that are on some of these people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is exactly what it comes down to. You know, and again, this isn't a conspiracy theory or anything like that. This is just a plain old fact. And, you know, it's interesting that you use the term fingerprints. because in fact, Forward Newspaper, which is a very distinguished Jewish newspaper out of New York, recently had a very revealing article in which they said that the whole campaign to get the United States to take action against Iran not just had what they described as notably Israeli fingerprints, but they said Jewish fingerprints. In other words, what they were saying was that while the government of Israel and its lobby organizations here in the United States and you know, think tanks pursuing the Israeli agenda were involved in promoting American action against Iran, there were many Jewish organizations here in the United States, as Forward Newspaper put it. There were, I think they said, indelibly Jewish fingerprints all over the affair. So yes, this is what we find. It's very interesting to read the Washington Times newspaper here, which is a virtual mouthpiece for the neoconservative movement. And on any given day, you can see four or five, and I'm not exaggerating, four or five of their op-ed columnists all echoing the same press releases put out by a variety of organizations that have a vested interest in promoting the Israeli agenda, and specifically, at this time, the Israeli agenda vis-a-vis Iran. So, it's a virtual bet. I mean, if you can take it to the bank that the reason why people such as this gentleman you referred to are being promoted is because they in fact are promoting an agenda for their behind the scenes masters, the people who are paying the bills, getting them in the paper, getting them the radio and television interviews, and basically propping up the propaganda line of the Israeli lobby. And that propaganda line today is that the United States should go to war against Iran.
Well, one of the things that most profoundly influenced me and made a profound impression upon me as a young person when I was in Iran a generation and a half ago now, is how intelligent these people are. And obviously they must know, and I'm sure do know, what is going on. They had the sad experience in 1953 of going through what Stephen Kinzer wrote about in his book, All the Shah's Men, as that related to the role of the MI6 and the American CIA in overthrowing Mossadegh. And it seems now, as we look at this talk about regime change and supporting these separatist movements covertly, and then engaging in overt acts of that would suggest the threat of military force, hence the deployment of these aircraft carrier task force groups, and the talk about deploying a missile defense system in Europe that would have Iran as its primary target, and so forth and so on. You look at all of this. Is the IRI regime that concerned about what seems to be developing? And from talking to your sources, what is going to be their move if they're attacked?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because over the past year or so, I've had occasion to talk with different people, obviously in Iran and here in the United States, people from Iran. And in Malaysia, I had the opportunity to speak with an Iranian diplomat and some other people who are concerned about this issue of American action against Iran. And, you know, in some respects, I often get the feeling that they're, what's the saying, whistling past the cemetery. To some extent, I'm not convinced that they actually are convinced that the United States will attack Iran. And I think part of the reason why they may feel that way is because they cannot conceive that even the United States government, with all its wealth and power, that the United States now so egregiously and sadly bogged down in Iraq as it is, would actually stretch its resources to the point that they would try to start waging war on what would literally be another front, that is, a war against Iran. So in a certain sense, I don't think that a lot of Iranians really believe that the United States will do it. But I believe that that's a miscalculation on their part, because I guess in my own mind, I don't think that they truly understand in the bigger picture how truly mad, truly insane, I should say, for more clarifying purposes, how truly insane and agenda-driven and fanatical these neoconservative policymakers are who have been dictating policy in the Bush administration. These people are fanatics. They are just as fanatic as any mad mullah, so to speak. And I don't think the American people realize that either. I don't think, though, that the fact that we are bogged down as we are in Iraq is going to be enough to stop these neoconservatives from pursuing some real violent agenda against Iran. And my message to the Iranians that I've spoken to is, don't underestimate these madmen. Don't underestimate these people, because they have a bigger agenda. It's an agenda that's thousands of years old, and now they've got it in their hands. They've got their finger on the American nuclear button, and they brag about the possibility that they have the opportunity to use this power to remake the world as they want to do it. So like I say, I don't think the Iranians fully recognize what a precarious position they're in. They don't think the United States will do it, but you know what? The funny thing is, it's not the people of the United States who are going to have the opportunity to really decide whether or not, quote-unquote, the United States does it.
Yes, and I agree with that. And as I look at this whole thing, I'm particularly struck by the phenomenon you just mentioned, that we are apparently talking about a group of people, meaning these neoconservatives, who cannot look at all of the qualitative evidence of the mess that has been made of Iraq. They can't look at that evidence and apply it to a much larger picture, a very obvious picture. And it seems to me that when we start talking about a preemptive military attack on Iran, given the precarious economic and military situation that we have embroiled ourselves in Iraq, it begs the question as to how anyone already losing a barroom brawl fight would go out of his or her way to dredge up another enemy when we're already on the ropes.
You know, Mark, it's very interesting. Joshua Moravchik, who is one of the key neoconservative publicists, he's widely quoted and widely published. He recently had a piece, I believe it was in
Commentary?
Well, he does write frequently for them, but this was in the magazine of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And I believe that magazine is called Foreign Policy Magazine. In Foreign Policy Magazine, he wrote a very interesting article in which he said, well, Iraq is a mess, but that doesn't matter because we still need to prepare the American people for the fact that the United States must wage military action against Iran. In other words, he's saying, well, Iraq didn't come out like we wanted it to, but we are going to pursue war against Iran anyway. And it's the responsibility of the elites, the neoconservatives, the think tanks, the media, to explain to the American people why it's necessary that their sons and daughters fight against Iran. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, Vanity Fair magazine had a spread several months ago, actually, it's like two issues ago, probably December, in which they interviewed some of the key neoconservatives who orchestrated the war against Iraq. And I say Iraq in this case, it was, you know, Richard Perle, Michael Ledeen, the whole crowd, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, and all of these people dared, with the ultimate chutzpah, to lay the blame for the Iraq disaster on George W. Bush. And some of them even disavowed the very idea that they had anything to do with helping promote or orchestrate that war. Now, talk about chutzpah.
Yeah, particularly when it's apparent from public sources that they were precisely the people involved in it from the beginning. And again, as I look at this, it seems to me, returning to your theme about the mental instability of these folks, that as they attempt to caricature the regime in Iran as being characterized by a bunch of religious fanatics, Islamic theocrats, and so forth and so on, that the neocons largely have their own ideology at work here, which is causing them not to evaluate things from a balanced perspective. And in regard to this whole question of the neoconservatives and the Israeli lobby, what would you see as the two or three goals that they want to achieve and want to implement in regard to this whole business of removing the present regime in Tehran?
Well, ultimately, it comes down to something very, very simple, and this is something that they adamantly deny. And what their goal is the proverbial greater Israel, Israeli geopolitical power, if not rewriting the map itself, Israeli geopolitical power stretching from the Nile River to the Euphrates. This is an old line Zionist policy in which they perceive the boundaries of Israel to, they say these are the real biblical boundaries of Israel and that Israel should in fact occupy this land. Well, you know, in reality today, Israel, of course, is not technically occupying Iraq, but for all intents and purposes, Iraq has fallen as a free nation. And so therefore, and although the Iraqi people are fighting through the insurgency, the fact remains is...
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Mark Ancross America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael Collins Piper talking about Iran and neocons and a whole host of things related to that situation. I was just going to warn Mike that in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to have a series of fairly frequent commercial interruptions, and then there will be an opportunity for a longer segment of conversation again. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. You can also give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Again, you can contact us for any of these reasons at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. Mike, in regard to this whole business of Iran, what is your take on this Holocaust conference that was held over there in Tehran, and how does that take differ from what we were reading in the corporate press on this subject?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is to say about this that it was not anything like it was presented, again, by the mass media. There were as many varying points of view on the Holocaust as I have ever heard in my entire life. Many, many different political interpretations of the Holocaust and its impact on modern society today. Many, many different interpretations of the impact of the Holocaust on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, many, many different interpretations of what did and did not happen during the Holocaust. The mass media presented that conference as some sort of giant, quote-unquote, Holocaust denial conference when it was anything but that. There were people over there who vehemently disputed the numbers of 6 million dead during World War II. There were people who disputed the use of gas chambers for homicidal purposes. But on the other hand, there were many people who spoke at that conference who said, yes, 6 million did die, and yes, gas chambers were used to exterminate people as part of a deliberate policy on the part of the National Socialist Government of Germany. So as I say, that was probably about the most wide-ranging conference on the subject of the Holocaust that was ever conducted anywhere on the face of the planet. And despite what anyone may or may not think, or I should say whether people may not agree with those who quote-unquote deny the Holocaust, the fact is that we bleat so much about freedom of expression here in the United States that I find it amazing that there are those here in the United States who would condemn Americans for traveling to Iran to discuss in an open forum organized by the government of Iran to discuss issues that you cannot discuss here on our good old American soil. So the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is that that conference was about freedom of speech.
We'll be back with Michael Collins Piper. This is Mark Gancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You got a headache?